Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihare,
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 Vijana Pala. Jaya Giri Varanare, Jaya Giri Varanare, Vichana Pallava, Jaya Giri Varanare, Jaya Giri Varanare,
Jaya Gopi Jana Pallava, Jaya Giri Varanare.
Shimad, His Divine Grace. Abhaya Chanana Adhavaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kijaya. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shibasidhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindigijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Mukunda Radhakunda Gidi Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasti Devi Kijai Samavheda Bhakta Vrindigijai Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya. Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharni Nirashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So, we're going to continue with our study of this book called the Jaiva Dharma. Jaiva Dharma is a book written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay. Jai. It's a book written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that has many stories in it that illustrate the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the tattva, rasa, and the siddhanta. So, someday you've got to get a stabilizer for that thing.
Someday you need a stabilizer.
Yes,
Guru.
We talked about that
before.
Because sometimes if you handhold the people get nauseous when they're watching. So, anyway, so we're going to continue reading from this book, and yesterday we were talking about the different types of people who, in this world, have three different types. One type is just like people who are adharmic, the other type is people who are materially dharmic, and the next type is devotees. And so today, let's share the screen for everybody, and then, of course, you don't have a big screen here or anything like that, no. You're behind the times. Anyway.
You can get it tomorrow.
No, I mean, it's good for the devotees to be able to see, to read along with me.
You can do a projector.
Yeah, we'll do tomorrow.
Oh, you can get a projector.
Yeah, we'll get a slide screen and a projector.
Yeah, projector.
We'll get it, no problem.
Yeah, don't buy it.
No, we have it.
If you have it already, yeah. So, anyway, so we're going to share the screen for those who are fortunate to be watching online. And you can also look at it in your phone or device that you have. So, Om Gana Chivaranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Miritam Yena Tezvai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today we're going to start with the discussion about the three types of devotees. So there are three types of humans, and then there's three types of devotees. Everybody understands?
Yes.
Three types of humans are adharmic, dharmic, and devotiic.
Devotiic.
So, and the three types of devotees are Kanishta, Majjhima, and Uttama. Okay. But here's an interesting discussion. The Kanishtas, that means materialistic devotees. And they're almost devotees. They're Vaishnava Priyas. That means they're almost devotees. Take support of the path of bhakti, but are not devotees. I mean, they're devotees, but almost devotees. So, and the description from the Bhagavatam about them is Archyane Vahariye Pujitya Shadaya Yet Hate Natad Bhakte Shu Chan Yeshu Sabhakta Prakatasmita. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general is called an unrefined devotee. That's Bhagavatam 11:2-47. So that's a really important point to understand. And a Kanishta Adhikari basically just sees Krishna in the temple and he's not anywhere else. You know, so when you're in the temple, you're very nice and respectful. But outside of the temple, you just offend the devotees, or you just don't understand. God is watching you. God has a webcam on you, 24/7. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Can't get away with anything. So, he's watching you, and he's basically giving you what you want. Like whatever you want, your desire. If you want to forget him, Krishna gives you intelligence to forget him. So the person who worships the Lord in the deity form but does not worship with faith, the devotees and other jivas, is called a materialistic devotee. So as I mentioned yesterday, don't use this injunction to criticize other devotees. You know, it's very easy to say, you're a materialistic devotee, you're a devotee in the mode of ignorance, you're a materialistic devotee. We should criticize ourselves. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I am finding fault in others because I myself am pockmarked with that same fault. So, Sometimes, I think the same as you find a speck in someone else's eye when there's a log in your eye. So the person who worships the Lord in the deed of... Yeah. It is concluded that faith is the seed of bhakti. If one worships the Lord with faith, that's bhakti. But without worshiping the devotee, that worship is not pure bhakti, since it harms the full swarup of bhakti. In other words, it can actually harm you because it's offensive. You're committing offenses on chanting, offenses on deity worship, and offenses in general against the order of the spiritual master. In other words, the activities of bhakti are the only door to bhakti. So in other words, worshiping just the deity in the temple and not respecting the devotees is not bhakti. That's really what's being said here. It's a shadow of bhakti. What's that? Hare Krishna. Wow. That's scary. So it's a shadow of bhakti rather than actually bhakti. So we should be very careful and understand that. The purpose of deity worship is to engage the devotees. And the deities are not there like the checkout counter at the supermarket. Self-checkout. They have self-checkout here.
Yes.
So... Or you just swipe your card or something like that, or tap your card. So you go up to the hundi and you just put a little donation in.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, that's my devotional service. One who identifies himself as the inert body. What is an inert body? Does anyone understand? The children? Inert means it doesn't move. It doesn't move by itself. Composed of, close your ears now, mucus, bile, and air. Who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself or feels kinship or with worship or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such person is no better than a cow or an ass. That's from the Bhagavad Gita, the famous verse, 10:84:13. The person who thinks his body is a self, who is possessive of his wife and family, who thinks that the Lord is material and that the holy Ganga is mere water and has no interest in bhakti, is like an ass. He is most foolish. These are heavy words. The conclusion is that without worshiping the Lord in the deity form, one cannot begin bhakti. So the deity worship is essential. And the heart becomes crushed by logical arguments without finding the object to worship. Still, in the worship of the deity, so it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. Remember we talked about these two logical terms yesterday?
Yeah.
In terms of, what is the example we used yesterday about necessary and sufficient? Anyone remember? What?
It's necessary for you to go to the airport, but it's not sufficient.
Yeah, like if I want to go to America, it's necessary for me to go to the airport and take a boat too. But anyway, it's necessary for me to go to the airport, but it's not sufficient because I can just go to the airport and play around, you know, miss my plane. You know, sometimes you find people go to the airport and they get so much engrossed in the shopping mall there. Actually, most of the airports, the main stores are actually liquor stores now. Even you go through Dili. And you know, you can't get into the country without going through like hundreds of different bottles of liquor. So anyways, you go into the airport and just get, and you know, you check in for your airplane and everything like that, and you're just wandering around the airport and saying, "Oh, this is nice, that is nice," and they're calling you, "Dear Mr. Goswami, your flight is late. We're going to take the bags off your plane," and you don't hear it, and then the plane takes off without you. That happens to a lot of people. You hear this a lot in the Sydney airport. Isn't it? They take the bags off the plane. Because people just get engrossed. They're just like, they've checked in, but they're just enamored by the airport. That's like Kanishka Adhikari. So it's necessary to worship the deity, but it's not sufficient. You have to worship the Vaishnavas. Still, in the worship of the deity, it is necessary to have pure spiritual intelligence. In this world, the jiva is a spiritual object. Jiva means us. Among the jivas, the one with bhakti is purely spiritual. The devotee and Krishna are two spiritual objects. So it's really important, in another verse of Charivam, that one should never see a devotee as an ordinary person. That's considered to be an offense. Any devotee, not just the guru. So, to realize spiritual objects, here's an interesting statement you may not understand. One must have sambandha jnana concerning matter, the jiva, and the Lord. So I'll explain sambandha jnana in a second. If one serves the deity along with sambandha jnana, it is necessary to worship Krishna and serve the devotee at the same time. So what is sambandha jnana? Sambandha jnana is one of the three aspects of devotional service. The first aspect is called sambandha jnana, the second one is called abhideya, and the third one is prayojana. So sambandha basically means the connection or relationship between the different, what we call before, the tattvas, right? The jiva soul, the Supreme Personality, Godhead, and the Lord's energies. The identity of them, which is called the ontology of those three, and the relationship between the three. Without sambandha jnana, or the knowledge of those relationships, one cannot progress in Krishna consciousness. It's absolutely essential. Otherwise, you'll confuse matter with spirit and spirit with matter. In other words, you'll see a Vaishnava and you think the Vaishnava is just a material person, just like me. Atmabhat manyate jagat. So it's really important to understand the nature of those three tattvas. And then abhideya means the practice of devotional service. And prayojana means the goal of devotional service. And each one of those three stages or understandings of devotional service are mentored by a particular acharya, particular personality. Does anyone know who mentors sambandha jnana? Sanatana Goswami. And the presiding deities are Madan Mohan. And then, secondly, abhideya is who?
Jiva.
Who?
Jiva.
No. Starts with an R. Rupa Goswami. You should learn this. Rupa Goswami. Just like we have our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar devotion. Prabhupada said it's our guidebook. So he gives us this abhideya, this process of devotional service. And finally, prayojana, the goal is who? What? Yeah, Gopinath is the deity. But who's the acharya? No. Well, got to study more. Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Raghunath Das Goswami resides where? Anyone know? Where does he live? Yeah, Radhakund. He lives on the banks of the Radhakund. So because of that, you know, that signifies prayojana, the ultimate goal, pure love of Krishna at Radhakund. It's easy to visualize that when you think of the acharyas, because in this way you can actually remember these particular terms, even though, you know, it's a foreign language or something like that. I guess it would be pretty similar to Hindi, isn't it? Sambandha, the connection.
Yeah,
connection like that. So, it should be easy for all of you to remember. So, giving respect to the spiritual objects with faith is called scriptural faith. Shastrika Shraddha. Shastra means scripture. Shraddha means faith. But actually, the word Shraddha is composed of two words or syllables. Shra and Da. Does anyone know what that means? Shruk and Da. So that's the original root. So Shruk means the heart. Da means to give. So to give the heart. So having faith is not just that we believe that something exists. You know, I believe, for example, I believe that the dog here exists. I have faith that I believe the dog exists. But I'm not giving my heart to the dog. I'm sorry about that. Even though you've all given your heart to the dog. No, I like the dog, it's just my heart's not there. So, to say that I have shraddha in terms of the dog would not be appropriate. I believe he exists, but I don't have that sort of faith that's defined by the word shraddha. So it's very important to understand that word faith, or the shraddha in Sanskrit, because that's a necessary ingredient. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami defines this word in a very simple way. He says, shraddha shraddha visha shakhe sudrida nishtya, that faith is understood by one's conviction that simply by serving and doing what the person who you have faith in asks for or wants, everything is accomplished. That's faith in Krishna. You know, if we have any doubts, Krishna says, what in the Bhagavad Gita? Shradana purusha. Anyone know that verse? Dharmasya shaparandapa prapyamam nivartante michu samsara vartmani. That one who doesn't have that shraddha, that person, a shradana purusha, that person, a dharmasya parandapa, almighty armed Arjuna, he's referring to Arjuna, then a prapyamam. Does anyone know what that word? Apropya. Not to obtain, or not to get. One doesn't get Krishna, nivartante. But mrityu samsara vartman, he returns to birth and death in this material world. So this concept of faith, or shraddha, is extremely important in Krishna consciousness. It's not simply to believe that Krishna exists. Another example I use about someone who believes that something exists, for example, a criminal believes that the police exist, but he doesn't have faith in the police. I mean, yesterday we were on the road and we were seeing so many police checking people's breath. So they definitely exist. But if I was drinking, I don't drink, but if someone was drinking, they wouldn't have faith in them. Simply worshipping the deity without knowing the pure relationship of the spiritual objects is called lokika. So here's the word for customary faith. Like my belief that the dog exists. That's lokika faith. Customary faith. And it's just basic belief in the existence of something. Like the demons, actually, like you have Ravana and all these other nice people, they believed that Ram existed, and Ranjagashapu, but they didn't have faith in it. Though it is the preliminary door to bhakti, it is not pure bhakti. In other words, just to believe that God exists is something. It's not nothing, but it's a preliminary, that means in the beginning door. That is the conclusion. The person who has attained the door to bhakti is described as follows. Gritta Vishnu Dikshako Vishnu Puja Paro Nada Vaishnavo Vittito Vignar Ito Smada Vaishnavaha. The person who has received Vaishnava Diksha and performs deity worship is called a Vaishnava by the learned. The non-Vaishnava is the person who has not received Diksha. That doesn't mean if you're not initiated, you're a non-Vaishnava. Don't take that out. Because in one sense, you're chanting the holy name. So in one sense, you actually accepted the name. So it's not that you're a non-Vaishnava just because you're not initiated. Don't get worried about this. Then you have to look for a different movement or a different person to recommend you. Who doesn't make you jump through hoops to get a recommendation. So... So people hear that, they get really upset. Oh my God, I'm a non-Vaishnava. I'm going to hell. I can't go back to Godhead. And this poor temple president or ISKCON authority is preventing my spiritual progress. Those who worship the deity by accepting a family guru or accepting Diksha with Vishnu mantra without having customary faith in the path of Archana are Kanishta Vaishnavas or material devotees. They are not pure devotees. So sometimes people accept Diksha either from the Kula guru, Kula. It's actually Kula, but sometimes it's pronounced Kul. The Kul guru. So then they're just Kanishta Vaishnavas. You find that often that you have this, this summer, you have the family guru who gives you initiation. They're not pure devotees. Such persons have a predominance of Chaya Bhakti Abhasa. So what does that mean? There's a shadow of a reflection. Chaya Bhakti Abhasa. They have a shadow of a reflection of bhakti. It is not Pratibimba Bhaktivas. Since Pratibimba would be offensive. Pratibimba with a misunderstanding. Pratibimba Bhaktivasas count as offensive, and such persons are not even, they're not even Kanishta Adhikaris, people commit offenses. The Chaya, the shadow Bhaktivas, has many auspicious results. Since a person with this type of bhakti, in other words, they're a bona fide Kanishta Adhikari, can progress to the Majjhima and Uttama levels. You're not trapped on that level. How do you do that? By association with those who are on a higher level of devotional service. In any case, let me just check to make sure the microphone. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Oops. Doesn't look like it's loud. Not this microphone. That's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about my audio settings on this thing. Yeah, it's loud enough. Because most of the people, actually we have about 50% here, 50% online. 26 people online. Okay, so here's some more Sanskrit words. They are not pure devotees. You know, Arjuna, Kanishta, Vaishnava is not pure devotees. They are materialists. They are not pure devotees. Such persons have predominance of Chaya. Anyway. We read that right. This Chaya Bhakti Vas has many auspicious results. We read that. In any case, in this state, people are not pure devotees. They worship the deity with customary faith and pass their life acting toward others using the 10 qualities of Dharma prescribed previously. Remember, we talked about people who are dharmic without religious, like they're peaceful, control the anger, etc., which are meant for the general population. The behavior described in the scriptures for devotees is not meant for them. In other words, they don't behave as devotees. They behave as basically materialistic, pious people. They are not capable of distinguishing the devotee from the non-devotee. And then, so then we get on to the Majjhima Adhikari. This is the next step. The Bhagavatam describes, this is how you can understand a Majjhima Adhikari. The behavior of a Majjhima, which means middle devotee. Harishwarete da adineshu balisheshu vishat sucha prema maitri kripol piksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. An intermediate or second class devotee is called Majjhima Adhikari. He offers his love to the Supreme Lord, is a sincere friend. These are the four qualities. Sincere friend to the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent and disregards those who are envious of the Lord. That's Bhagavatam 11:2-46. So remember this. The four qualities of a Majjhima Adhikari, and we're supposed to be Majjhima Adhikaris right now. You're not supposed to right now think that you're an Uttama Adhikari. And actually, even if you are an Uttama Adhikari, you come down to the level of Majjhima to preach. Because an Uttama Adhikari is one who just absorbed in Krishna's names and he thinks everybody, we're going to get to that, and say everybody is serving Krishna except for him. And he says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just like one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Krishnadas Babaji, whenever we approached him with some problem we wanted him to solve, he would simply chant and laugh at us. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We said, can you tell us what to do, you know, now the problem's left the mind? Like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, so sometimes he'd give advice, but generally he just chanting the holy name. So the Bhagavatam describes this. The behavior described here is the behavior within Nitya Dharma. In other words, permanent devotional service. The Kanishtha Adhikari is engaged in Anitya Dharma, temporary. But this is permanent, eternal. It does not describe the material behavior which is Naimitika. Here's another word for you. Naimitika means temporary. This behavior is necessary in the life of a Vaishnava. Other types of behavior, when not contrary to this behavior, can be done as a religious duty. In other words, let's say if you're going to work and you're making money and you're supporting your family, which is not contrary, then that is actually considered a religious duty, done as a religious duty. If, as we mentioned yesterday, you have as your goal to be Krishna conscious and bring people to Krishna consciousness. That should be the goal always in your mind. You're like, taking care of my family, maintaining my family, going to work to facilitate Krishna consciousness rather than to facilitate my sense gratification. And then once a week we go to the temple, offer our obeisances, and that's it. We just pay our dues to Krishna. I often mention about Kanishtha Adhikari is a story about, there was a movie from the 1960s. The name of the movie is called Never on Sunday. I don't know if you heard that before. It was a Christian movie, I mean not exactly Christian, but it was about a Christian lady who had an occupation that was not so nice. I'm not going to tell you what the occupation was. And once a week she was quite religious. She didn't work on Sunday, that was her holiday. So, most people are like that. You know, whether they're Hindus, whether they're Jews or Christians, is they go to the church and that's it. They pay their dues. It's like paying the taxes to the government. Nobody wants to pay more taxes than you have to, do they? Is anyone here voluntarily send an extra donation to the government? Say, I know you know you need more roads and everything like that, so I'm feeling real merciful and compassionate today, so send me more money. Nobody does that. I mean, maybe somebody does, some stupid person. So, so that's a Kanishtha Adhikari. He pays his dues, and that's it. The objects of a Vaishnava's behavior are four. We mentioned this before. The Lord, the devotee, dependent on the Lord, the innocent person or ignorant materialist, and the hater or person who is opposed to bhakti. So you have four people that in Majjhima Adhikari interacts with differently. We make friendship with the devotees, we worship God, we approach the innocent, and we avoid the envious people. We don't hate the envious people, we avoid them. There's a difference. The Majjhima, towards these four, the Majjhima shows respectively prema, pure bhakti, friendship, mercy, and indifference. In other words, prema towards Krishna, friendship with the devotees, compassion towards the innocent, and indifference. Indifference means neutrality. Don't hate them, don't love them. You know, we love everybody ultimately. But, you know, just whatever. First, then he talks about prema. First, consider prema for the Lord. Hey, Bo. There's my favorite little boy. The one who took Guru Prasadam. I'm just from the Guru. that's it.
Understand the joke? Yes, I understand.
First, consider prema for the Lord. So here he's describing what prema for the Lord is. Prema, of course, means love, pure love. One shows prema for the Lord Krishna. Prema here means pure bhakti. Better not. Computers and water don't mix very well. Isn't it? Because, you know, I'll be speaking to you like that. Then we're going to have to ask one of you to buy a new computer. So, prema here means pure bhakti. The quality, and here's the definition by Rupa Goswami of pure bhakti. This is considered to be, what's going to be quoted here, is the nutshell verse in the Nectar Devotion. A very important verse, and I advise everybody to learn this verse, because this defines what Krishna consciousness is in a nutshell. Just like in the Bhagavatam, we have our nutshell verses, the four verses. Bhagavad Gita, we have four verses. Everybody knows those four verses. Hamsa Rasa Paralo. 8, 9, 10, 11, and chapter 10. And so here's the essential verse. If you learn this verse, you've understood the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. Anyami Lashta Shunyam Gyanakarma Navritam Anukulyena Krishna Mashilanam Bhakti Uttama. The highest bhakti is defined as, I'm going to explain this verse further after you read this. The highest bhakti is defined as continuous service or emotions directed towards Krishna, his expansion forms or other related to him, with a favorable attitude towards Krishna. It should be devoid of desires other than the desire to please the Lord, and unobstructed by impersonal jnana, the materialistic rituals of karma, or other unfavorable acts. And this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. So here, just to define and describe this verse describes the negative aspects, what bhakti is not. First, that's the first part of the verse. And then it describes the positive aspects of bhakti. You know, first, like, you have, in yoga, you have what? Yam and niyam. The first two aspects of, you know, hatha yoga. Yam means restrictions. Niyam means positive injunctions. In the Ashtanga yoga system, yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, prajahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So, yam means your research is what bhakti is not. So, what is not, what are the negative things that bhakti is not? So, what are the things that bhakti is not? I just did a double negative. So, first of all, dirty thing, anyami lashta shunyam, it's void. The word shunya, you have the word shunyavadi that we use all the time with Prabhupada's Pranam mantra. Nivashashashinivadi, voidism. So, it's devoid or void of all dirty things. Anyami lashita shunyam. Like in Hindi you say shunya, would mean zero.
Zero.
So, anyami lashita shunyam, jnanaka, like is devoid, and he defines what the dirty things are, which is interesting. Jnana, the desire for personal liberation, or just knowledge about impersonal liberation. Jnana, karma, desire from fruit of gain. Fruit of gain means I want things in this world. Jnana, karma, anavritam. It's devoid of those two things, subtle and gross, sense gratification, and even the desire for liberation, apart from Krishna karma. Jnana, karma, anavritam. And then anukulyena Krishna, it's done favorably for Krishna. Then favorably for Krishna means, basically, that anukulena Krishna shilanam bhakti mutabhav, that it's done doing what Krishna wants. Oftentimes, we want to do what we want to do for Krishna. It's an interesting statement. Ask not what Krishna can do for you, but what you can do for Krishna. It's called parallel construction. Ask not. So, because, you know, oftentimes we go to Krishna, my dear Krishna, let me do this for you, let me do that. Instead, we should be approaching Krishna. What do you want me to do? And, you know, oftentimes we approach the spiritual master and we say, you know, Guru Maharaj, give me blessings. And of course you have, you know, so the spiritual master has no alternative than to give blessings. Because if he says, no, you're going to do it anyway. One time there was someone who approached Prabhupada, and he wanted to get a divorce and get remarried. And he said, Prabhupada, please give me your blessings to get divorced. And Prabhupada said, yes. And then Prabhupada was questioned by his servant, who said, I thought you were against these things. And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm against these things. But he was going to do it anyway. And so rather than him committing an offense against the spiritual master, which would have made it worse, then I had to give him a blessing. So sometimes it's like that. So it means doing what Krishna wants and doing it actively. There's three different aspects of pure devotional. So, you know, being active, not just planning. I'm planning and planning and planning for the next 200 years to do something. That's determination of the mode of ignorance, according to the Bhagavad Gita. And then the third quality is doing it with a spirit of devotion, rather than resentful, thinking, my guru asked me to do this, I have to do this. It's too much for me, but I'm doing it anyway, because if I don't do it, I'm going to commit offenses. Oh, what a miserable life I got. So, doing it happily, just like Prabhupada carried out the order of his spiritual master, happily, enthusiastically, enthusiastic, patient, determination. So that's what Krishna consciousness is, bhakti. And so that's the whole description of pure devotional service. And if you want to know about pure devotional service, that's it. So this type of bhakti, listen to this, becomes sadhana, bhava, and prema for the Majjhima Adhikari Vaishnava. That's the type of Vaishnava we're supposed to be. It becomes what we should concentrate on. Our sadhana means practice, not just the rules and regulations of sadhana, you know, vivaiti, which means rules and regulations, but we should concentrate on this particular verse and the meaning of that verse. I'm supposed to do it favorably, what Krishna wants, when he wants it, actively, and with a desire to please Krishna. You could be doing something for Krishna ritualistically, and that's not bhakti. Even if you're doing what Krishna wants, it's not bhakti until you're doing it with the intention to please Krishna. Because bhakti means love. You know, if you just do something because you're supposed to do it. I mean, let's say you have a relationship with someone. Let's say your wife, for example, and she wants a new car or something. And then, you know, if you don't get that car, there'll be hell to be paid for. It happens sometimes, you know, just like doing this because you like make my life miserable otherwise. So anyway, so you do it. But that's not love. That's simply, you know, force. You know, like you, like we told you yesterday, you know, join the Krishna conscious movement, chant your japa, because if you don't, you go to hell. Then and that's done with children sometimes, that you say to them that in your next life you're just going to become a cockroach or something like that unless you do this. And that's not encouraging people to have bhakti or chant all your rounds before you chant. You can't eat until you finish your rounds ever, stuff like that. Thank God. So you can't play, you can't do any video games. You heard that one. You have to chant at least one round before you can do your video games. So then, it doesn't encourage people in bhakti. Bhakti is encouraged by seeing other people do things and happy. You know, if you look at people who are really happy doing bhakti, like Srila Prabhupada, that encourages you to chant. In fact, pure devotee, one of the qualities of a pure devotee is that when you see such a devotee, you want to chant. It automatically comes out of the mouth. So it's very important to understand what bhakti is and what bhakti is not. So here, we read that. This is the sadhana. I'll read the sentence over again. This type of bhakti becomes the sadhana. In other words, one thinks about that. And then you get bhava emotions after that, spiritual emotions. And then after that, you get pure love of God for the
Madhavadi Kari Vaishnava. The Kanishtha has the quality of merely worshipping the deity with faith. It's called Kamala Shraddha, which means just very fragile faith. The Kanishtha does not have bhakti in which there is the cultivation of a relationship with Krishna favorably, unobstructed by karma, jnana, or other elements, and devoid of other desires. That's that verse. Karma means, you know, gross enjoyment. Jnana means desire for liberation. From the time such bhakti manifests in the Kanishtha's heart, when it manifests, he is counted among the real devotees as a Majjhima Adhikari. That's what a Majjhima Adhikari is. If you have that desire to please Krishna as you're doing what you're doing, and that's your goal of life. As long as the bhakti does not manifest in his heart, he remains a material devotee and is known as a bhaktya avasha. That means a shadow of a devotee, a reflection of a devotee, or Vaishnava avasha. So the heavy words here. So, let's see, oh, one more paragraph we'll do. The cultivation of a relationship with Krishna is prema, pure bhakti, but the word favorable indicates the other three qualities of the Majjhima Adhikari. Remember, friendship with the devotees, mercy to the ignorant, and indifference to the offenders. Very important. Very important. So, we will take some questions. Let me stop sharing. It's not nice of me to stop sharing. So, anyway, so stop sharing here. And so, who here has a question? Yes.
Stop with the table. More pressure on me. In terms of, you know, like you said, you can see other devotees and see whether which platform they are on, can you know that. But what's the self check? Like, what are the things we can look for in ourselves to, you know, just to try and work out what, you know, maybe symptoms or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Where are we? What the gaps are, and how can we, you know, elevate?
Okay, good question. Good question. How do we self-evaluate?
That's it. Yeah.
Well, it's a question of also being introspective, asking ourselves, what is my motivation? We're talking about motivation here. Why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, what is the real reason? Am I doing this, you know, am I a guru sitting on a big seat just because I love, respect, Dhanam, Janam, Sundari? Or am I doing this to please my spiritual master? So it's a question of examining your motivation. And also having intimate relationships with other Vaishnavas who you can reveal your mind to and bounce things off of them. You know, saying, what do you think about the way I'm doing devotional service? And let me reveal my mind. I'm thinking this, you know. As I'm doing, chanting my japa, I'm thinking, when is prasadam? So some people are thinking like that. When I first joined the movement, I encourage myself to chant by giving myself one sweet ball after each round. So my mind was definitely, I chanted a very quick job at that point. So, yeah, you know, it's self-examination and an interaction with others who can help us. So who else has a question? Or should we take a question online? Question? Yeah.
So Uttam Adhikaris, they are Bhajanandis, and and the Madhyam Adhikaris
are preachers.
Yeah,
Krishnanandis. Yeah.
So to continuously be as a Goshtanandis, we continue to preach, and our goal, like you were talking about yesterday, about the goal, is to bring more people to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So if we combine both of them together, so always we will be, you know, coming back to the self-evaluation. So if we do service to the Vaishnavas and also work on bringing more people to Krishna consciousness,
yes,
we always conduct ourselves as Madhyama Adhikaris, right, Kundal?
Yes, as long as we evaluate ourselves and make the necessary corrections and are willing to hear from others, then we can remain on the platform of Majjhima Adhikaris. The interesting thing is that it's not, let's say, if one is an Uttama Adhikari, they come down to the platform of Madhyamaya Adhikari to preach, but it's not like 24/7.
Okay.
Like certain times of the day, they may actually morph into their Uttama Adhikari consciousness. You know, like you see, for example, Srinivasacharya was a preacher, obviously a preacher of Krishna consciousness, but sometimes he would go into trance for 2 or 3 days. That's Uttama Adhikari. And basically his wife didn't know what was happening. I mentioned the story before that his disciple Ramchandra Chakravarti had to be called, and he entered into the same meditation. And, you know, both guru and disciple were looking for something that Radharani had lost. And they both come back together out of meditation. And then other times, he would actually bring things from the spiritual realm back from his meditation, like a garland or something like that. This didn't come from the spiritual realm. But, so when we say that the Uttama Adhikari steps down, it's not that he loses his Uttama Adhikari status, but he voluntarily, out of compassion, acts as a Madhyama Adhikari. And that's true of the Prabhupada. It's not that he's of a lower status, it's just that out of compassion, he's doing something that's a sacrifice. You know, imagine you're with Krishna, and you're seeing Krishna's pastimes, and all of a sudden you open your eyes, and oh, there's all these rascals you got to preach to. You know, let's say Prabhupada's example, you know, all of a sudden he opens his eyes and there he's in 26 Second Avenue with intoxicated people dancing. You know, I don't know what Prabhupada was thinking, but it's definitely a contrast there. But that's out of compassion. You know, sometimes some people were envious of Prabhupada, some of his godbrothers, they would criticize him and say that, you know, you like to hang out with these sorts of people. But it's not like that. Prabhupada loved everyone. He wanted to save everyone, like Vasudev Dad or Jesus Christ. That's why he did what he did.
Thank you.
So, we have time for a few more questions. Any other questions? Yes.
Yes, Maharaj, on the definition, like when you say Anya Bilashit Srunyam and Jnana Karma.
Karma Navritam, yeah.
So, Jnana Karma Anavritam, generally Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga also considered like bona fide paths as per...
Yeah, and they're steps. Yeah, they're actually steps. The jnana here mentioned is a personal jnana, not personal jnana. So you know, Sankhya Yoga is considered a step, and Karma Yoga is considered a step. It's not that you reject those steps, but you reject the impersonal desire to acquire, get liberated, you know, in personal knowledge. Sometimes the word jnana is used in different ways in different contexts. Sometimes it just means knowledge. You know, sambandha jnana. So here it is, knowledge of the connection or the relationships between the different tattvas. So jnana is used in a different way. Just like many words in English or any language can be understood according to where they are in the context, which is called the context. And that changes from time to time. You know, it's like the word love can be understood in different contexts, in different ways. All right. So, any other questions here, or should we take questions online?
Online.
Online.
Okay, who has a question online? Someone ask a question real quickly. You got a few seconds. No one. Everyone's resting. No, actually, quite a few people were watching online. Any questions online? If not, we can end and proceed with our day. We are here in Sydney, Australia, with all the Vaishnavas. A lot of Vaishnavas, too. This is more than the people who come to the temple program in the morning. say hello to everyone. Pretty good attendance. I don't need to go to the temple anymore. So anyway, I That's it. All glories to His divine grace. Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Bhakti Vinod Thakura, too.